Assalamualaikum and hello internet listeners. It has been a while. I hope you are all well, healthy, happy and safe. My name is Iman and I started the Momologues almost 2 years ago. I released a few episodes and then honestly, life just happened. A pandemic hit us and I actually had 2 more kids. And after almost 2 years of keeping this podcast on my to-do list, I'm happy to say the Momologues is officially back. The last time we spoke, I only had 1 kid, and now I have 3. I had 2 more since the last time we spoke. It's insane. So to catch you up, I now have 3 under 3. My son Bao is all grown up and he's 3 years old. My second son, Ball, because he literally looks like a ball, he is 1.5. And we recently welcomed our daughter, Bo, like 3 months ago. So honestly, if you can't catch up with their names and how old they are, it's okay. Honestly, neither can I. It has been a roller coaster since we last spoke. When I recorded these episodes in 2021, I was already pregnant and I've since wanted to get back and share these conversations with you. I think they're really important and I can't stop thinking about them. Every time I'm doing something, I tell myself, oh yeah, I need to go back and edit those episodes, or oh yeah, she would be really great for me to talk to for the podcast. So you know what? No more procrastination. I am back and I am so excited to share these stories and these women whose lives and conversations have really impacted me, and I hope they will mean something to you as well. So this episode is with Wing Yan. She is a mother of 2 and a sleep consultant in Kuala Lumpur. I actually personally reached out to her in 2020 when my son turned 1. He had insane sleep regression and my husband and I wanted to try sleep training him. We Googled Wing Yan and she came to our rescue, and here is how she teaches parents how to help their kids gain good sleeping habits. One of the questions I wanted to ask you was, how did you get into sleep training? Because I actually haven't really heard your story of how you got into it.
When I had my first child, I also didn't expect that a baby does not sleep like a baby.
Yeah, they lie to us.
And when we're going through pregnancy, we never really read up about, you know, what happens after a child is born. You only prepare yourself up to the day your baby is born. But you didn't really expect that, you know, putting a baby to sleep is actually so tricky. Yeah. So that actually happened to me, right? I fell into the same trap. And because my baby then, my first child, was having trouble sleeping, and she was about 4 months then, I thought there should be a solution for this, right? It cannot be that I have to be so sleep deprived, and I love my sleep. I can't go without sleep. So I cannot be carrying her throughout the whole night and then just tending to her every single hour, right? And she cries. Mm-hmm. I actually spoke to my sister-in-law then, and she was based out of Melbourne. So she actually sent her child to a sleep school in Australia.
They
actually have such things. Yeah.
You just drop your baby off for the night to sleep and you leave it?
You check in together with your baby into something like a center, a sleep mm-hmm. center. And then the nurse will look after the baby and train the child while the mother would rest and recover in another room. So maybe, I think in the first few days, the nurse will be training the baby, and then after that, they will teach the mom how to do it. And the mom would then take over.
So they kind of rest. This is a business idea for you. This is a business idea for you. You should start that here.
Start one in Malaysia, right?
Yeah, sleep school.
Sleep school, right. So after that 2 weeks and they check out, then the mom will have a trained child with her. And then they just have to continue doing that when they bring the baby home. So when I heard about that, I was like, oh, is there such thing? But you know, of course, there's none of that in Malaysia.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any of it any right now as well. Mm-mm. So I did my own research and then I came across the Sleep Sense program. So that's how I, you know, purchased the book and then I did it myself. It's a bit of like hit and miss and trial and error, because it's all trying to do it yourself, figuring it out yourself, right? So, well, eventually it did work. And then from then on, I discovered my passion in helping parents solve their baby's sleep, and that's how I ventured into this sleep consulting. So then I went for my certification and I came back and I started this business.
So maybe you can explain to us what are the sort of things that you do?
Yeah, so a lot of parents come to me because they go through the same problems as what you have experienced, right? So they come to me and tell me that, oh, you know, I've been rocking my child to sleep, or I've been feeding my child to sleep, or waking up so many times a night, right? And especially about naps as well, like they're just not taking naps or taking really short naps. So those are the really common issues that parents have, and they come to me for help. And a lot of them probably do not know that part of the reason why the child's not sleeping well is due to maybe some kind of habit that they have, that the baby has, or it's probably due to the fact that they do not have any skills to soothe themselves to sleep. Yeah, so what I do is I help parents understand the science behind sleep, and then help them put the child into a recommended schedule, a recommended plan, and then allow the parent to teach the child how to fall asleep independently and learn the skills for themselves.
And I think that's really important, because when I got your help, you do like a 10-day plan,
yeah,
right?
2 weeks.
I think it was 10 days. Yeah, two weeks, right. I think it's also really important to shout out to parents that both partners have to be in this together. Like, it does not work if the mom is in it and the dad isn't in it. And then, so the first 2 days when I was like super gung-ho into getting my son into this, my husband would be like, are you sure he needs this? So that was really tough for me because I didn't have the support.
Mm-hmm. yes, it's definitely, it's a partnership between the father and the mother to be able to get this right. And I'm really happy recently to hear a lot more fathers involved, especially in the consults, and also just being the first one reaching out to me and saying, you know, I think our family needs help.
Yeah, and I think like when I tell people, oh, I put my son through like sleep training, they're like, how can you let him cry? Doesn't like break your heart when he cries? And I tell them, you know what? The first like day, yeah, maybe, but then after that, you're kind of like used to it.
Mm, yeah, it's just a matter of, being a little firm in the first few nights, because what you want to achieve is all about consistency, right? And if you have set your mind on wanting to make this a success, right, you need to set yourself up for success as well, meaning you have to be really consistent about the training. And in the first night, that's when you're going to make some changes, and you just have to stick through it, right? And then very soon you'll be able to see some results.
And I feel so judged when they ask me that question, like, you just let your baby cry? I'm like, yes, I do.
Yeah, I know it's a tough question, a tough thing to handle, especially for a young baby to be communicating to you, right, that they're not used to being put down to bed when they're not fully asleep, right? So for a child, mm-hmm. that's the only way that they can communicate to you and tell you that, mommy, I think I want you to carry me back to sleep, or I want you to feed me back to sleep, right? So there's no other way that they can tell you that. And when they're going through that change, they do not like it. Same for us as an adult, right? We do not like change, but we are able to cope with it. But for a child, the only way that they can communicate with you is through some crying. But of course, the good news is, I didn't ask you to leave him to cry alone, right? You're there.
Yeah,
with
yeah,
him.
Yeah. No, guys, just, yeah. You know, Winya doesn't let you leave him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's important for a lot of people to know as well, is that we just like don't chuck the baby in the dark room and like abandon them.
Definitely
Winyan's,
not.
Plan is that you actually sit with them, I think like for the first like nine mm-hmm. nights, if I'm not mm-hmm. mistaken, right?
Yes. So you're not leaving the child alone. There's definitely support coming from you in the room there, trying to soothe and coax your child to get through this easier, right? It's not gonna. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say that there's no crying at all, because as I mentioned earlier, there's some protest that's gonna be involved. But you're there to support your child through it all. And once you're comfortable with leaving, towards, you know, somewhere midway through the training, that's only when you can decide to leave the room. But you definitely don't have to do that right from the start.
And does sleep training typically work? Because when it worked for me, I was like, oh wow, that's great. But how often does it actually work?
Actually, it works for most families, right? I would say about 90%. That is if a parent follows very closely to the plan and try not to confuse the child in the process. Of course, there are some who did, like some of my clients in the past, that probably didn't work 100% because it's either the child fell sick or is just suddenly, you know, halfway through the training, the teething happened and then it affected the child quite badly. Or let's say just things changed during the training and they cannot follow through, so that's when it didn't really work.
How young can you start sleep training your child?
I would say the best time to train is between 4 to 6 months, right? That's
I started at a year. I was 6 months too late.
It's all right, because you still managed to fix it. You know, I would say any time between 4 to 6 months is because a child is still not very mobile yet at that age, and they're not so aware of their surroundings, and also anxiety, separation anxiety hasn't really kicked in. So that's kind of the best time to train a child. And the longer you wait, the older the child will get. And then that's when, you know, when they reach toddlerhood, they will start to test you. They will start to get out of the bed. They will start to open a door and run to your bed. So it's just a lot more other factors that you have to also consider, right, when you're training an older child.
Yeah, and I think like when we start my son, we actually started on his birthday. I actually called him on the day of his birthday.
Actually, you're not the first one. Actually, I had another parent also do the same.
Really? It was like, hey, Baba, happy birthday. I'm sleep training you today. Our sleep training, I think, went well. But I have to tell you, Wingan, after like 4 months-ish, we have regressed. And I really want to say it's not me. It's totally Ashraf's fault because... Uh-huh. I don't know, you have this with other families, but you know, he was doing really well. And then my husband got a little quote unquote lazy. So he saw, oh no, he can sleep by himself. Yes. So when he cries or whatever,
and it
early
slowly
in the morning,
creeps earlier and earlier.
I'm like, no, why would you pick him up? Because now he expects to be picked up at 5 o'clock every day. And I tell my husband, you're not the one breastfeeding at 4:30 a.m. It's going to be me. And he now his excuse is, oh, now the MCO is over, he doesn't see our son that much, so now when he wants to put him to sleep, he will cuddle him on the bed and not put him in the crib like how we were trained to do. So now Babao expects to be cuddled in bed before he goes to sleep, and I'm so upset, Wingan. I don't know what to do. I'm so upset. So he hates it the nights that I have to put him to sleep, because he knows, oh, mommy's just going to drop and plop me in the crib, and I want papa instead.
So you can already start to see signs of toddlerhood there, where he knows who he can get away with, right? And it's about time that you reinforce some of the rules, otherwise it could go on.
I know. I sent my husband a very like very strict text the other day. I was like, you know what, now because of you, I have to like hear him cry for like 15 minutes longer than he actually should be crying. So
So I guess a tip to you is that you can start conditioning him already and telling him that, oh, you know, about if it's time for bed at this certain time of the day, when it's dark outside, for example, then it's time for you
to
sleep.
He sleeps at 7, Wingan.
Oh, still not that dark yet then.
Yeah,
but you can show him the clock. This number here, it's 7. Okay, so 7 o'clock is when you have to go to bed. And mommy is going to be doing the same thing as what I've always done. I put you in and then... I'll see you tomorrow morning. Mm-mm. I think you should still remember that.
I think so. And I will show Ashraf this episode. I'm like, see, the experts are with me here, Ashraf. Like, you have to listen to what I say. And I think the other tough thing as well is now that we're going from 2 naps to 1, right? So around what age does that usually happen?
It's usually between 13 to 15 months. Yeah, that's when babies drop to 1 nap.
Okay, so I'm in that ballpark right now, and it's tough.
So if you start to see signs where he is fighting his second nap, the first nap is also getting shorter because he still is on 2 naps, right? So when he gets older, he should definitely have longer stamina to stay awake during the day. And then he will start to show signs where he requires lesser sleep, also in that 24 hours range. So, you know, some of the signs that you watch out for is that he is either fighting his first nap, or he is also skipping his second nap, or, you know, he's just not willing to fall asleep. Sorry about the noise.
Oh, no. We need people to know that even sleep consultants' kids also have some trouble falling asleep.
My second child is still not sleeping yet, I think, because she had a little bit of a cat nap just now in the late evening. So she's 4 years old, and because of that cat nap, now she's not that sleepy. I think my younger one is throwing a tantrum. I guess that's what happens when they're down on 1 nap, but they are not really able to go without that nap sometimes. So she's actually almost 4, and I noticed that if I give her a cat nap, then this happens, like she will only probably sleep at 10. If I don't give her that nap, she would be like just doze off on her own. That's what happened today. Like, I didn't really expect her to take a nap, but she just lied down and then she took her lovey and then she fell asleep. So it was about 30 minutes of that cat nap, and then now she's not willing to sleep.
Wow. So your two girls sleep together in the same room?
Yeah, the older one's already fast asleep. She's really tired today because she doesn't take any naps.
So even if her sister is crying, she can like
sleep? Yeah, she's just knocked out.
What a champ. So what do you do if she's like throwing a tantrum and not wanting to sleep?
Yep, so like I've got my husband now trying to settle her. So it's about having that support system, right? So if you're not able to, someone else can step in and also put your child to bed.
Yeah, and it's so frustrating, I think, for a lot of wives, because I know, I mean, I'm just generalizing, but I think sometimes wives take on like their lead role in like taking care of their kids. It's so frustrating for me, Dulu, when I'm like trying to put Babao to sleep, but then my husband is just like snoring next to me, like not a care in the world, and here I am with a screaming baby and he can like sleep through it. Like, I don't understand.
Well, yeah, I do also have some parents who then tell me that the father is the one who's the lack of sleep, so then the father is the one who tends to the night waking.
Yay, good for those dads.
Yeah, so those are really daddies that I'll give them a clap.
Yay, little clap for those dads. I think I also learned a lot of valuable terms from you, like overtired,
yes,
active hours, the amount of times they should be
awake. The wake window.
So can you explain some of those terms to parents who maybe might not know?
Yeah, sure. So the wake window is actually the appropriate amount of time that you would give your child in between his naps, or, you know, in between when he first woke up to when he gets his first nap. So that's the stamina that your child has to stay awake, right? And it kind of increases as he grows older. So that's the wake window, or also commonly known as wake time.
And my question for wake time is, what is appropriate for each age?
It kind of varies, right? So when a child is just at newborn, a newborn will only be able to take about 30 minutes to 45 minutes of wake time. And then as they grow older, you slowly start to see that they can take about 1 to 1.5 hours, and that's when they're about 3 to 4 months old. So at this age for him, your child's right now he's at about
15 months,
right? So 15 months, it's about 4.5 to 5 hours.
Oh my god, again, those hours are so long. 4.5 to 5 hours, like, I mean, I love him, but the fact that he's going from like 2 naps to 1 is honestly killing me.
Yeah, so you have to entertain him a lot longer now.
A lot longer.
But when he does nap, let's say if he does drop into 1 nap a day, mm-mm, then that nap should be a decent long one, about 1.5 hours to 2 hours.
Yeah, but that's the other thing as well, is that time of the nap moves around depending on the day. Like, some days he'll take it at 10, some days he'll take it at 12, some days at 2. So I'm trying to figure out what is going on in his little baby brain. Because I'm trying to keep him to a schedule, because I know we discussed that having a schedule is very important. And I even like printed it and like put it up on the calendar, like, Casey, this is the time we wake up, this is the time we take a nap. But damn it, babies don't adhere to schedules.
Well, it really depends on what time he got up that day, right? So if he got up really early at 5 plus and he didn't go back to sleep, then naturally his nap will have to move earlier. And since it's kind of in that transition now, maybe on the days where he woke up early, then you'll have to sneak in a second nap, because then he won't be able to stay up for so many hours, right? If he had a first nap at 10 something, then you kind of need to have a second nap in the late afternoon.
Yeah. And I know that when we first talked about it, you told me, Iman, when he wakes up, you have to get up with him. It doesn't matter what time it is. I'm so sorry, Mian, I haven't been doing that.
No, what I said is, if he got up after 6 and then he can't go back to sleep, then there's really no choice. You have to get up together with him, because I think a lot of parents didn't really expect that they would have to get up so early after they have a baby. Especially for parents who love to sleep in, right? Like me, myself, like before I had a kid, I would always sleep till 9 plus, but
those
on the weekends.
Those were the days. Yeah. Waking up at 9. Now if I can sleep till 8 or so, I'm like, oh my god, this is so great.
I know, right? But now there's this natural alarm clock which will wake me up around 6 something, 7. Right now, at least, you know, when my kids are older, they will wake up around 7 something, but it's still earlier compared to what I experienced in the past before having a kid.
Yeah, so that is what you said. He is waking up at 6 on the good days. And before this, right after we finished our training with you, I was so disciplined. Oh my god, when he woke up at 6, I'm like, okay, let's get up. And we would walk out of the room and like go play and have breakfast, whatever. But now I think also, not only Ashraf, I'm also getting lazy. So now when he wakes up at 6, I'm like, look, come here, let's just cuddle. And then we will still be sleeping, but he's like just like walking around the room, just like waiting for us to wake up, you know? And I know that's bad. I know that's bad, but yeah, it's all my fault.
As he grows older, definitely, you should start to see that he will also learn to sleep in a bit longer. So I think what you should do is, if you're able to keep him in his cot, then that would be the best. But if you're not able to, then yeah, I think it's just about time where you have to get out.
Yeah, no, this is the reality check I needed. I think this is why I scheduled in this call, is because I needed to hear it. Because Ashraf will just tell me, Allah, tak pela. But that's the thing, right? All these small takbelas become like a habit. And I think now Baba was like,
yes.
He's like, I can get away with this now. He's so naughty. It's ridiculous. When I was scrolling through your Instagram, you know, before we met, I thought it was really interesting how you adjusted to travel sleep. What kind of tips or tricks can you give to parents who are traveling with kids on how to maintain that sleep schedule with different time zones and things like that?
Well, one of the biggest mistakes a parent does when they're traveling is they forgot that they have a kid with them, actually. Especially if you travel with young babies, you have to be mindful that they need to have naps at a certain time of the day or go to bed at a certain time of the day. Right? That doesn't mean that your travels then have to revolve around their sleep, because I know then that will just be no holiday at all. There's no difference, right? So what you should do is, when you're traveling, if it's time for a nap, then you would still try your best to either give your child a carrier nap or a stroller nap while you're out, just about the time when they're supposed to take their sleep. When it's time for bed, if you're still out for dinner and you can't come back in time for bed, then there's probably no choice. You might have a sleeping child with you throughout dinner. And then once you're back to the hotel, just transfer the baby from the stroller or from your arms into the cot. And of course, when you're traveling, it's about adapting to the new environment. So there might be a few nights of, you know, fussing again or protest where your child is just not used to sleeping in a new cot or in a new room, right? Just as how we would also not sleep very well in a new location, the first night of that hotel room, we would probably not sleep that well. It's about adapting. So maybe in the first few nights, first night or second night, you might need to be with your child a bit longer, sitting next to your baby. Wait till they're asleep, and that's only when you sit further away or go to your bed. Yeah, so that's about traveling in that location. But about the time difference, let's say if you're traveling to a country like the US, for example, and everything is upside down, you would need to get your child into the new time zone as soon as possible. So what you can do is actually to get on a day flight. If you have an older kid, if you have an older child, it's better to have you go on a day flight. Well, an older child would fight sleep more if you take a night flight as compared to a younger baby, right? Because a younger baby, if for babies younger than 1 year old, you have a bassinet for them, and when night comes along, they would probably just fall asleep quite easily because they're not too distracted. But for an older child, like a toddler, when they're on a plane, there's just so much to take in. They'll be so excited. What's happening? Then there's lights that will come on. Even though it's a night flight, there'll still be, you know, people serving food, or, you know, they probably only turn off the lights when it's like 12 midnight. So your baby will probably not be able to sleep that well, or your toddler, right? You'll not be able to sleep that well and will be constantly awoken throughout the night flight. So for an older child, I would recommend day flights. For babies younger than 1 year old, that a night flight would work. And then when you get to your new destination, you would try to get into the new time zone as soon as possible. So that long flight would actually help, because by the time your child arrives in that new location, they will probably be already quite sleepy then. And then that's when you will put your baby to either a nap or to bed. And then when it's supposed to be daytime, just give your child more daylight so that they can start, the body start to adjust to the new time zone.
That's interesting, because that's so counterintuitive for me. I would have never thought that. I would have just thought, night flight so they can sleep on the plane. But you're absolutely right. Like, kids will be more interested in what's going on than actually sleeping.
Yeah, so I learned from my own mistakes, because that's what I experienced. I'm telling to all parents now.
Where were you guys going?
We flew to Melbourne 2 years ago. Yeah. And the year before, we also went to Melbourne. And that time, my younger girl was still a baby then, like below 1 year old. So she actually took the night flight really well. But the following year, she was about 2 years old then. And it was a nightmare.
Oh my gosh.
Because she would just be throwing tantrum throughout that night flight because she wants to sleep, but she can't sleep. And then by the time we arrived at our destination, she was so worked up and so overtired by then that she didn't want to stay in her seat when we were landing. She was just crying and throwing tantrum on the floor.
Oh, of the plane?
When the air stewardess was on the plane, yes. In the plane, on the floor, crying her lungs out. And the air stewardess was like telling me, you have to put her on the seat and buckle her up. But I can't because she's just throwing tantrum on the on the floor of the plane. So after that, I just knew that, you know, for an older child, it's better to just take the day flight.
Yeah. Okay, guys. So everyone hearing out there, take day flights. If there's one thing you remember from this, take day flight. And I really have to say, like, I cannot sing your praises any louder. And I hope you know how much I appreciate everything you do. And literally, you have changed our lives. It for me now, knowing that, okay, at 7 he will sleep, it makes me a better parent during the day because I know that there's that deadline of like 7 o'clock. Okay, I'm gonna get like not my life back, lah, but like
yes,
I'm gonna get my
your
time.
Own me time, that's important.
Yes, and I think a lot of parents need to invest in something like this because it really brings so much quality of life back into your life.
Yeah, I look at it as something wholesome, right? Because if your life only revolves around your child and you don't have any self-care, you're not going to be a good enough parent for your child, right? So it's all about that balance where you want to also have your child to be sleeping well and then you get enough rest and then you can be a better parent. It's so much more positives around it because if your baby has good, restful, continuous sleep at night, for example, then you know that he's getting that amount of sleep required for his growth, for his mood, for his appetite, right? And it's same for you, right? If for a parent, if you're constantly going without sleep, it also takes a toll on you, on your family, on your marriage, right? So it's all about finding that balance. And of course, every family has their own different priorities, but this is what I think is the most fulfilling for me.
And what are some, like, I think even my situation with my son wasn't that bad in terms of what his sleep was like before, but what are like some real horror stories that you've heard from clients? Like, I know of some friends who like can only sleep 2 hours a day because their kid is always awake, and I cannot even imagine that. That's so stressful.
Yeah, I always remember one case where the mom would tell me that she has to hold the baby upright on her chest and bounce on the and an exercise ball throughout the night.
No.
Throughout the night. On the exercise ball, basically, you know, the mom is not sleeping at all because all she's trying to do is get the baby to sleep, but she's not getting any rest.
Oh my god. And some babies, I think they just like that movement, that like bouncing up and down. Like, I don't know, kids, it's not good for your parents.
Yeah, it's also not good for the child because you always get better restful sleep on a flat stationary surface. You cannot be constantly getting motion or being slept upright, right? So that's, you know, our bodies are not meant to rest in that position.
So I guess being kind of like the last question would be, if anybody is interested in talking to you about getting your services for sleep consulting, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can always get in touch through my Instagram or my website or even just send me a text. Right? I'm always responsive on WhatsApp or drop me an email, anything.
Okay, great. And what is the process in getting your help?
I usually do get on a call first with potential clients, just understand what the issue is and to also understand if the solution would work for them because sometimes, you know, certain circumstances will not allow for a very successful sleep training and that's what I would advise them.
So for example, what factors would that be?
Yeah, so for example, if the parent tell me that I don't have a spare room and I don't have a cot, I need to have my baby sleep on the same bed as me for the sleep training. And then I'll say that, you know, that wouldn't really work. I mean, it might work, but it's not going to be successful because what we're trying to teach a child here is independence around sleep, right? And to remove all the sleep crutches around, you know, them putting themselves to sleep. So if a child is constantly relying on the parent presence on the same bed, then it's counterproductive. You're not going to be changing anything. So there must be certain things that's in my checklist that I will need to have parents prepare. For example, having their own cot. Even if it's sharing the same room, that's fine. As long as the child has their own cot, the training would work. And then secondly is the blackout curtains, right? Especially during the day naps. If child is exposed to sunlight while napping, you will just not get good quality sleep. So blackout curtains is the other check thing on my checklist. And then also about, you know, traveling or long day events. Let's say in that 2 weeks, if there's going to be some traveling happening in that 2 weeks, then I would say, you know, just hold it off first. Only come back to me after you're done with your traveling. Because what we're trying to achieve in that 2 weeks is consistency and trying to get your child into the routine, right? So if you have things that will be upsetting the routine throughout the 2 weeks, then I'll just say, okay, maybe we'll come back to this again.
Right, because it's very counterproductive. Okay, well, thank you so much, Wingan. I have definitely learned a lot more than I did previously. And I really want to say to anyone out there who's thinking of getting in touch with Wingan or even thinking of doing sleep training, I really recommend it. There is no other way of getting your baby to sleep through the night. And if you need help, I think it's okay, right? It's okay for people to ask for help, right?
Yeah, you're not alone. You're not the only parent who's going through this. And there's so many other families who are also experiencing something like that. And it's okay to ask for help, right? If you think that this is the right thing for your family, then there's a solution for it.
And I think maybe sometimes some people might also feel embarrassed that their baby isn't sleeping well. But it's normal and it's okay to ask for help. It's better to not suffer in silence, right?
Yes, exactly. Don't suffer in silence, because there's this misconception around that a baby would eventually learn how to sleep well. If you're lucky, yes, maybe in the next 2 to 3 months, your baby will just miraculously sleep better. But some don't, and it can go on for years, right? 2 to 3, 4 years, and probably have to ask yourself if that's what you would want to go with 3 to 4 years of not having good sleep for yourself and for your child.
Oh my god, I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, so every parent has their own, every family has their own preference, so just go with, you know, what you think is what best for you.
It's also interesting, I actually told my pediatrician as well when we went for Baba's checkup. I actually told him that we went to sleep training, and he was like, good for you guys. I was like, see guys, even doctors recommend sleep training.
Yes, I'm sure they hear a lot of from parents as well, asking them for advice on like how to put a baby to sleep and why is my baby waking up so often at night. But I think they do see the benefits of it, so it's good to hear.
Thank you so much to Wingan for taking the time to chat with me all the way back in 2020, 2 years ago. Inshallah, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And if you were contemplating if sleep training for your family is the way to go, please feel free to reach out to Wingan. Her Instagram handle is at Precious Sleep. That's PRECIOUSSLEEP. And her website is www.preciousSleep.my. Precious Sleep is one word. So after recording this episode together, I reached out to Wingan again in 2021 to help us sleep train our second son, Ball. And alhamdulillah, he has been a sleep champ even a year and a half later. We just give him a bottle, turn off the lights, and leave him, and he can go to sleep. So sleep training has definitely helped our family. Every family is different, and I hope you find what works for yours. Thanks so much for listening to this week's Momologues. Inshallah, we'll chat again soon. Assalamualaikum. Bye.